Dirty Kong Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Millward.
I'm Ludwig van Dog Biscuit.
And I'm the J Train.
Woo woo!
Yeah, I've just rolled in. The J Train's rolled in. So,
yep.
It's all good now. It's all good.
This is, you're going to have to bear with this. This is our first podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be horrific.
It's going to be terrible.
The sound's
going to be terrible because we're only using one microphone. So bear with us. Apologies for that.
But we have got some PlayerMax 3000 speakers to play back on, so we're all good. We're going to have a great time with the audio.
Did you just make that name up?
No, we've got PlayerMax.
PlayerMax.
The legendary maker of PlayerMax.
They're talking nice. They sound impressive, but they're basically just some shitty laptop speakers.
Yeah, they are.
They sound like an aquatic dinosaur.
Watch out for that player, Max.
Dave, we all know there's no such thing as dinosaurs. We're put here to test our faith.
Oh, God just plays fossils in cannons. Because he's got fuck all else to do. Now we stop killing everybody, the genocidal bastard.
No, Dave, don't piss off the Christians.
Yeah, so basically our podcast is here to basically, I don't know.
Inform, infuriate.
Yeah, that's right.
It's here to...
More infuriate than inform, but we're going to try our best.
To educate and confuse, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to ask more questions than
we're going to answer.
Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Well, the Bible's now in iPod form.
I think we've got our...
The iBible.
My dog's just reading the...
The iBible.
I'm reading the
Christian on the go.
The best comic here.
What's that? Benny God. I don't know what that is.
Just for any listeners out there, my dog is currently reading a copy of The Sun.
Yeah.
Is it this week?
Yeah. We've already lost interest in the podcast.
What's the date?
Oh, yesterday. It's the date of yesterday. Saturday, 22nd of January, 2011. For 60 pence.
There we go.
A nice Bible fact for you, actually, in The Sun. Although the 8th commandment is thou shalt not steal, the Bible is the world's most shoplifted book. Anybody got anything to say about that?
Yes.
If you're a Christian, you're going to hell because you've all been stealing your own Bibles.
Yeah,
don't be a Christian and steal a Bible, then you're not going to hell. If you're a Christian, then you steal the Bible, then you're going to hell.
Do you reckon someone is like stealing them in a book and then flogging them on corners to shady looking Christians? Oi, you look like you need a Bible, mate. No, I'm not into any Bible. I'm at some crack. Yeah, please.
Shady looking Christians. I've never heard.
I just want to say at this point, if there are any Christian listeners in, please don't be offended. He knows not what he says.
Yeah. I really am. Well, my family are listening.
We're innocent through lack of knowledge, I think.
I actually hope that nobody I know listens to this podcast ever.
They probably won't.
No. Well, they won't. I mean, I'm the one that's got to upload it, and I doubt I'm going to do that because I'm too lazy, so...
Well, they won't do voluntarily, but as soon as you say something mildly offensive to anyone you know, I'm going to make sure to hear it.
I'm going to have to pay people to listen.
Because
to
I am an arsehole. Nobody likes me. In fact, you two barely like me.
You're just here to make up three numbers. I want a nice round. I want an odd number. Thank you, David.
Basically, I think I'm here because I can drive and I've just brought people here. That's all I'm good for. And it's just rude to say, oh, we don't need you now. Yeah. I think that's why I'm here. Because I'm good at driving. In fact, I'm barely good at that.
You're an excellent driver. You just
killed us on the way here. That's
all
good.
And on the stag do.
It's actually happy to be alive today. Which is a new feeling for me. I'll thank Jamie for that one. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you see, I make you appreciate life.
It is true. Driving with Jamie does make you appreciate the smaller things in life, like being able to breathe in a steady rhythm. Yeah.
Not having to hold on to what you're sitting on.
True. Yeah, Von Doggy's just looking through the
looking
through his looking through the paper all I can for see the sponsors, and I'm trying to look for the genitals.
We're gonna have a segment later on. It's the what are you calling it? The sort of the grind of the week.
We'll call it the paper round.
I like it. Creating this podcast in the podcast
itself. You're helping us create. I don't know who you are yet, but you are helping us.
And as we say, this week's selected publication is The Sun, and it's a real treat to read.
Yeah. It's not so much as a newspaper, is it? It is a comic. You know,
I just like looking at this picture of Jonathan.
The amount of news in this newspaper is negligible.
At best.
At best, yeah. It's basically funny stories. Serious stories made funny.
Have we got any of our own funny stories to tell?
Recent ones.
I think you should tell that story about the Scientologist.
Oh, the Scientologist.
Scientologist story.
If we move on to another religion now, which we have so much
respect
for,
absolute respect for, and you know, we wish them all the best for the future, and they're doing quite well, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're stalking me. I'm currently being stalked by a cult of Scientologists.
What's the story?
Well, basically, I went out drinking and dancing one night. I went to see a band. Yeah, me drinking.
Wow.
Imagine.
We're not drinking right now.
Nope.
I haven't got a drink, so glug glug. Glug glug noises. Drink.
Anyway.
Drink.
Glug. Yeah, and anyway, so I got really drunk and I went round the back to buy a CD off the manager. While
does anybody want
to? She gave my dad a massage. No.
Hold on. Who was giving your dad a massage?
The band's manager was giving my dad a massage.
Why?
While I was looking through the CDs.
Why?
Everyone's given David's dad a massage.
Yeah.
I know I have, but that was when I was very small.
Yeah, and it was thrust upon me.
Yeah.
And then I had to massage him.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact details, but she came around saying, "I've got healing powers," or something like that. She could heal him with the power of massage. And so she gave him a nice massage, not really, no. Which doesn't explain all the stuff that goes on next, then, does it? We'll skip that bit. And so I ended up buying the CD and a book, which I thought was some kind of sci-fi science fiction book. I was really.
But it was,
really. Yeah. Wasn't it? It's about Scientology. It was by Ron Hubbard. It's called Dianetics. And when I got it home,
who's Ron Hubbard? Some people might not know.
E. Ron Hubbard is a 50s sci-fi writer, and he came up with the idea that if he wrote some shit in a book about aliens being dropped into volcanoes. And then taking over people's souls, taking over people's bodies and having them with their souls. He decided that if he said, "Oh, that just came to me, and I'll write it down, and it's real," that people would believe him, and some fuckers actually did.
Do you think on his part it was a money-making scheme, or did you just
think? I think it was a joke. I really do think it was a joke. I think he was like, "If I say this, will people forfeit? Will I become Christ?"
Mm.
And, well, it's ambitious. It seems to have worked. Yeah.
Anyway, get back to the story.
It just gets me how people can believe about aliens dropping into volcanoes. I mean, we all know that.
I believe in aliens.
Yeah, well, I don't believe in volcanoes.
I believe there's aliens out there. Aliens are real. I don't believe in volcanoes.
Who's ever seen a volcano, really?
I've never seen a volcano.
That Iceland thing, it was just a big fucking piss tank, wasn't it?
Yeah,
people set fire to the trees. There's no volcano. To fly. Yeah. Oh, it was all pilots being really lazy. I can't be asked to fly. Let's pretend there's a volcano in Iceland.
Yeah.
And all Icelandic the frozen bastards. Peas are in trouble.
I wanted to get to Mexico, and I couldn't because of the Icelandic bastards setting fire to the mountain.
In the other direction.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Complete Guide to Scientology.
Scientology.
Oh, yeah, sorry, we want to get to that.
I was reading the bit of the Dianetics book, and I was like, hang on, this is a bit fucking weird. And then I realised what it was. And so I left it at that. And then, I must have given my phone number.
Mistake number one there, ladies and gentlemen. If a Scientologist comes up to you and gives you a book, don't give you your phone number.
What did you fucking give me? I paid for the movement.
How much did you pay for
mistake?
It?
It was about £7, I think.
So, I tell you what, you know, I have a collection of scriptures upstairs in my room. I've got about three or four different kinds of...
You got the King James Bible?
I think I've got about three different kinds of Bibles. Cool. And they were all given to me for nothing in the street. to David.
Well, see, Christians are one up already. They're giving away stuff for free. Scientology, it's all about profit.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, you never met them again.
Well, we should never see them again. They've got your money now.
I don't want to see them ever again, ever.
You'd think she'd be happy with the money, but she definitely wants something more. Because, like I say, I get a phone call. Hi, it's Kakaru from the band I won't mention. I should have mentioned your name. I'm sorry if you're fucking with you.
You only mentioned your first name. I think first name basis is okay.
But you know who you are.
She'll know her voice.
You're out there.
That impression.
If you're listening, we don't like you.
It's not that I dislike you. It's just you're really pissing me off. Because, yeah, I got this phone call.
Sorry, yes.
And,
tangents for a terrible thing.
Yeah, how's it going? She asked about the Scientology stuff. I said, oh, to be honest, I've not really looked into it properly yet. I've read the first few pages, I've left it at that. Oh, I'll ring you again. Oh, I wish you wouldn't. And then,
you didn't say that to her.
No, I didn't say that. I'm too polite.
What did you actually say?
I went, I did. That old pitiful, okay.
Yeah.
You know the way you do. Yeah. And anyway, so I get text messages every now and then from her, and I'm not replying. I get a Christmas card.
Wow.
And I'm like,
Christmas card?
No, they just spend the money at Christmas, don't they?
It's not like Buddhists. Can't the Buddhist religion celebrate other religions?
They can celebrate what they want, can't they? They just celebrate it as a festive time, not as a religious thing. It was just like, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, no mention of Jesus.
Right, okay.
How did you not mention Jesus?
I don't
on Christmas?
On Christmas Day. Yeah, but Jesus is foolish. Who would
the
believe
hint
in
is
a
in
man?
The first part of the word Christmas. Yes. You know, I think Christmas is partly made up of Christ.
It's Christ's
Christ.
Mass.
It's Christ Mass. It's not Christmas. You're all pronouncing it wrong.
This is the religious podcast.
Yeah.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Christmas.
And yeah, anyway, so it goes on this way. And then a few months ago, I think it was, I get a letter from the head of Scientology UK down in Surrey. And the letter reads, and you'd think it'd just be something that she printed out that wasn't very personal, but it was quite personal, really. It's David, you met Kathleen, manager of the band.
Wow.
On the date that I bought this book,
what?
I can't remember it now. I should have bought the letter.
The time written in
the time, yeah, the time.
Did they know what you was wearing?
What I was wearing.
You was wearing that black top, remember?
Blood type.
Penis length. And,
sexual prowess. This is negligible.
I was going to say preference, but no, you have a prowess.
it says you bought this book, and it even says that this woman has tried to contact me several times since, and I've never got back, so I thought I would try, and I'm sending you this DVD, which I've not watched yet. We're going to watch that. I think we might do that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
We'll watch that Scientology DVD.
We'll do it in a future episode.
We'll follow up on that.
Don't worry, we won't leave you hanging.
And I didn't get back to that.
You'll have closure.
And so just before Christmas, I get another letter and another copy of the same DVD from Kathleen saying, I wrote to the head of Scientology UK to write to you, but I don't know if she wrote to you, so I'll write to you again and send you this DVD that she was supposed to send you. I'm going to have a fucking archive of Scientology stuff. So if you want to take up Scientology, if you want to believe in that bullshit, come see me. I've got plenty of fucking paraphernalia. Yeah.
And to be fair, in this case, it sounds like they're doing most of the work for you.
Yeah.
Because they're coming after you. Then you know.
Well, they're literally stalking me.
They're nothing if not persistent.
I might get chance to go see her this weekend, actually, but I might not bother. No.
Okay. So that the story ends there, and have you watched the DVD?
I've not watched the DVD yet. I think I'll save that so we three can experience
we'll
it.
Do a commentary.
Genuinely, the first time we've seen it.
We'll promise to not take the piss out of it too much, in case you are a Scientologist, but you know, beware of it.
We don't wish to offend.
I've got that book as well.
We don't wish to offend,
but we will. We can dissect that too.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds
I've got nothing against religion, but when a religion popped up 50 years ago, and you all of a sudden say, oh, that's the right way to live your life, how come it's not been noticed before?
That is quite true, yeah.
I can understand, I don't personally believe in religions, I don't think any of them are right, I think we're just here and then that's it. But if it's been going on for so long, it's instilled such a big set of social values that it's not doing too much harm except for in extreme cases. But when you've got something like that, it's just poisoning people's minds to stupidity.
Yeah. It's the loss of reason you get with religion.
Yeah, the loss of reason, yeah. There is a lot of that in religion.
And any certain percentage you give up your reasoning methods, you know, in the mind to religion, even if you're sort of a general believer, you're still giving up a percentage of, you know...
It's the whole part of the philosophy of most religions, isn't it? Because you say... that you're being poisoned one way to believe one thing, but you must trust in your faith that what you're being told is counteracting perhaps feelings and stuff.
I can never have a religion for the simple reason that I couldn't choose between two different flavours of ice cream. Someone said, no, it's got to be chocolate or vanilla. I'd be like, no, I'm not choosing.
You're keeping your options open.
You have to have one view. It's like, no, I like both chocolate. I don't actually like chocolate, so that's a bad example.
It does like chocolate ice cream.
Mint chocolate chip or vanilla.
Yeah, or rum and raisin.
That's the question.
I'm throwing another spot.
I opened a question there.
Oh, sorry. What was the question?
It was mint chocolate chip or vanilla.
Mint choc chip.
Mint choc chip.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
If you say otherwise, I'll burn you. It's a mistake.
Wow.
That's religion.
I'll freeze you in ice cream.
You see, the problem I have with religion...
Mint choc chip as well, because it's your least favourite. Sorry.
Yes.
Can we just...
Sorry. The problem I have with religion is that there's just too much reading. I mean, have you seen the size of the everyday average Bible?
Well, maybe
it's like, I want a religion that is basically, I know everything about the religion on a pamphlet. I want one side of A4. That is it. I want to know everything about my own religion in 5 minutes reading time.
There's some pretty good pamphlets out there, though.
Yeah, but how...
But it doesn't encompass the entire religion, I agree with
you. Well, that's it. How many pamphlets would you need to know about Christianity or, you know, Judaism or anything like that? There's just so much reading to do. I haven't got the time. I'm a busy man, John.
You are?
I'm a busy man. And I just want to be able to pick up a pamphlet, know about religion, and then I am that religion.
I am.
I'm not the religion, but I am
Christianity.
Taketh into you the meaning of the book.
I think, while we're talking about religion, I think we should make our own religion up and see if it takes off. You know, we'll put it... I mean,
we'll do a Dirty Kong religion.
Dirty Kong religion.
Jamie's not going to write this book, ladies and gentlemen, so you don't have to worry about that. But maybe me and Dave will put pen to paper.
Yeah. I'll write the pamphlet, and these guys can write the rest of it.
Our first commandment will be, "Thou shalt not be religious." And anybody that continues reading the book after that has already failed.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, put the last few words of the book as if you've read all this, then you've failed our religion. Because then, if they've read the last few lines, then you know they've read the rest of the book. And so you've failed on a personal level, on a religious level. How disappointing for you all.
Yes.
Oh, dearie me.
So John appears to
us. Yeah, there's going to be a lull in here now because the trio is now down to a duo. He is coming back.
There's an arm.
He's gone into the living room where he lives, and it's a room.
And now for the sound of a lion.
Back! Right, he's back. Right, it's going to be interesting. Now, don't say back to the microphone.
Come on. Sorry, I was bored.
Dave the arsonist.
Let's not try not to get too offensive in the first. We can build it up over a couple of episodes.
It can be a dog, it can be a type of material.
I like Afghan's dogs.
Yeah. Do you think kiwis look like bear's testicles?
I always thought they looked like chimp testicles.
Chimp testicles.
Seriously. They looked like chimp's testicles.
The hairs are so short, though. It won't be the bear of a grizzly, the balls of a grizzly. I mean, what kind of bears haven't got much hair?
Much hair. Just short, fuzzy hair. There's another question for anyone. A bear with short, fuzzy hair with testicles roughly the size of individual kiwis. If you can come up with that animal, send us one.
Yeah. Yeah, catch it and send it us. Yes. And you've probably discovered a new type of bear, but we'll take the credit.
I suggest you send tranquilizers.
Yeah.
Rather than a hypnol, because that can be quite difficult to administer to a bear.
Anyway, guys, I think it's time for our first segment.
We have the first segment. Can you feel that pressure rising?
It's like a piece of an orange.
I don't know
coming
if you can,
forth into your audible.
I can feel the excitement in the air. Or is it just your
orange? I hate orange. Yeah. Oranges with pips. I think, with all the science that we've got, you know, it's like we're genetically modifying, you know, crops and all that kind of stuff. Why can they not create oranges that don't have pips? Because I hate pips!
Okay, so it's time for our first segment. First podcast.
Wow.
Episode 1.
And I think I have the honour of that.
Yes.
And we've come up with a poor name of Dangerous... Poor name of Dangerous J.
Yeah, this is...
That is the best we can come up. That is the limits of our talent that we called it Dangerous J.
So here's Dangerous J.
And his crime tips.
This is crime tips. Not, you know, it's not going to land me in any trouble. Well, actually, it might do. I'm just not going to give away any personal details.
So come on.
Explain what Dangerous J is first.
Right, well, yeah, because I respect the law, but I think those rules are there to be, you know, they're not so much set in stone as they are just a guideline. So
guidelines, set in sponge.
The set in, that's right, they are set in sponge or other porous materials.
Yeah.
And so they're just the guidelines, so you don't have to keep them strictly. If you can get away with it, then you're not breaking the law, is what I personally believe in.
Right.
And one of my beliefs is speeding, or not actually speeding everywhere, but I think there's a time and a place for keeping to the speed limit. You know, outside schools, outside hospitals, busy areas.
Right.
Yeah, keep to your 30 mile an hour, 40 mile an hour max speed limits. But when you're driving somewhere and it's like 3 in the morning,
yeah,
there's no one on the road, why not say, you know, have like a sign on a road saying, after such and such a time, 30 mile an hour limit is now 50 mile an hour. Because those 30 mile an hour limits are there to stop, you know, you running over kids that are playing and old people that are trying to cross the road.
They shouldn't be in the road.
They shouldn't be in the road. But, you know, sometimes you do need to cross the road to get to the other side, like many chickens will tell you.
Yes.
But at 3 in the morning, kids are in bed, old people are also in bed.
Or dead.
You're only going to have a chance stabbing each other up, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's alright.
So speed limits shouldn't apply too much, but unfortunately they do. So one of my first tips is that this is something I've heard from quite a lot of people, is when you're going through a speed trap, there's those like little white markings on the road.
But are we talking British then? Because we might have international listeners. So we're just talking British.
Well, I'm not sure how other speed traps work, but something. You know, I'll tell you what, I'll look that up for next week's Dangerous J segment.
Yeah.
But for now, this is for British and Republic of Ireland listeners.
Britain.
Okay, yeah, it's the first episode. We're British, so we can do it for the
Okay. And we'll broaden our horizons when we feel like we've got enough talent there.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right. So anyway, get back to the point. Speeding.
Tip one.
Speed traps. The lines on the road, yeah, are there to the camera will kind of use its little laser technology thing. So as you're going over the lines, that will detect how fast you're going through. It'll judge how fast you're going past those lines.
Yeah.
Now, if you're on a dual carriageway, they stagger them slightly on, you know, the inside and the outside lane. On the same camera, there'll probably be about 4 or 5 foot of difference between the two. They'll like stagger them.
Right.
And so, if you are going too fast through that speed camera, I've heard that if you can swerve from one... this is slightly dangerous, but if you've
swerve
got the
swerve in the safest way possible.
Yeah, while you're speeding, swerve horrendously on the other side of the road. And if you can keep control if you can't, then the camera... The camera...
How many have you had to drink?
Like one. I've had one drink and I'm slurring words. I'm such a lightweight. But if you can swerve onto the side of the road,
right,
then it won't pick up those lines for that one side of the road. It'll pick them up for both, and so you've taken longer to get through all those little white lines, and so it'll register you're going 50 when you're actually going 60 or however fast.
Have you personally done this then?
I have, and I haven't been sent any speeding tickets.
And that's proof. If proof be needed,
yes, I've actually achieved that. Yeah. And you know. Everyone, whether you like to admit it or not, everyone goes too fast on the M1. Everyone does it.
I know, because I'm running.
Well...
yeah, I have to explain that Bondoggy isn't actually a driver here.
Yeah.
That, there you go.
So it's the J-Train. So
thank you very much.
Sorry, speaker.
Right,
that is the first...
Boom. That is the end of that round. Round? It's not question time.
It's a ready money round. As fast as furious.
I love those films. I wish I could be in those Fast and Furious films.
I hate those films. But I will say, we did. Which one did we go see? It was the newest one.
It was. It was just Fast and Furious.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Because the first one is the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
The last one is just Fast and Furious. There's no the. So the
but in terms of plot, does it matter?
Not your sexual technique.
No, I'm just differentiating between the two films.
It's basically fast cars, ridiculously just high fueled octane vibrating machine parts and vaginas and arms.
The most plausible part about that last film was when they jumped over a bridge that was like, you know those bridges that go over water and to let the ship through, they raise all the
drawbridge.
Yeah, drawbridge, thank you very much.
Are they called drawbridges?
Yeah, they're called drawbridges.
Okay, but it's a drawbridge. And they just caned it over. I think one of them was reading on the speedo about 160 miles an hour. Canes over this bridge, and he kind of, as he was landing, the car was kind of pointed a bit more down. And so it kind of scraped along, then all four tyres landed. The back tyres landed. And then he pulls up to the finish line and the car is absolutely mint.
Perfect.
No! 160 miles an hour over a bridge. And
but you love these films, don't you?
Yeah, well, you can see why, because he just said it was registering 160 miles an hour. See, Jamie's just sitting there watching the speedos. He's not watching nothing else.
That's what I was
saying. He's imagining that behind the wheel.
Yeah. It's fast cars and ass.
Yeah,
that is the film. Yeah. That is the plot.
Basically,
the
next film I want to be is just like naked people humping on a car that's going 200 miles an hour. Just show me that for a good 90 minutes and I will be more than happy. As soon as those cars stop and people stop honking,
I've got a shiny green car, I'm not happy. A big titted chick and lots of speed. Can I make a film? Yes.
That is sexist, David. You don't say chick. They're,
I said,
I think poontang's the word.
Poontang, yeah.
Chick.
We don't say chicks anymore.
You gotta remember there might be some female listeners.
There might be some male listeners.
What would you like to say to the female listeners?
I didn't think females could
you just seem to be picking up because I used an old fashioned 50s word.
Yes.
That's all you're trying to make it out. I'm not sexist, I'm not religiousist.
We
all know ists here.
I am quite a lot.
Apart from the J train.
And the pissed. That's the obvious way to.
But the thing is, the way I see it, I'm taking the South Park rule of offend everyone and no one's left out. I'm not. You see what I mean? If I offend absolutely everybody, and then I'm treating everyone the same. Because
you
I'm
hate
not.
All equally.
Yeah, I hate you all equally. I hate everyone. Apart from anyone that isn't me, you can all burn. You can all burn.
I wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, I don't like myself too much. What the fuck chance does anyone else have?
Do you not like you, or do you not like your mirror?
The mirror shows me, so I hate the mirror more.
Yeah.
Which is why it's broken.
I just didn't know whether you hated everything that you saw in the mirror.
Yeah.
Because then you can't just say, oh, I hate myself. It's like, oh, I actually hate the mirror.
Yeah, if we just genuinely hate the mirror.
I think that's a moral tip. Don't hate yourself, hate the mirror.
You're full of tips tonight, dude.
Yeah.
Who's the most unpopular man at a Borussia Mönchengladbach match? The man who shouts, "Give me a B!"
That's kind of funny. Judges leave it out. Where's your humour? I quite like that. That's brilliant. Oh, you're going to have to tell a joke every week.
Yeah, just a shitty joke.
You just caught up with some corking jokes last week.
Yeah,
unfortunately, we wasn't doing a podcast because this is the first one.
We were drunk at that point.
Yeah. We were fairly drunk, but the
fans still have a mountain of cocktails. We kept mountain of shots.
Shots. We had a shot mountain.
Oh, we had a shot mountain.
I recommend everybody out there do a shot mountain as long as you're old enough to
drink. It wasn't a hill or a bump or, you know, any kind of mound of, you know,
it was not for naught
volume. It was a mountain. It was like the Vesuvius of shots.
When was the first time you ever took a drink, an alcoholic beverage? How old were you?
I was about 7.
7 years old?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. My mum and dad gave me this glass of wine. Yeah, and you know, like, wine glasses are quite thin, dainty things, you know, because they want to look pretty while they're drinking the wine, you know, fucking wine drinkers.
Get the wine out.
Just for anybody out there who wants to have a reference of what Jamie's like, you would never picture Jamie in a wine bar.
No.
That's safe to say.
The last place you will
catch
me.
I like wine, but I wouldn't go to a wine bar.
Yeah, I'll drink wine.
Oh, true. I've never seen you drink wine. Have you ever drank wine?
Yeah, you have. When we went out camping that time.
I don't remember. I was probably pissed.
You was there because we were taking the Rip out those guys that were that came over.
The young.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The
yes,
young generation.
Yes. You were drinking wine.
But that was like just cheap plonk. I wouldn't even call that wine. I'd just call that, I don't know, an alcoholic drink of
drunkenness. It was liquid. So how? Sorry.
And I was saying, and I was probably about 7 or 8, maybe not even that actually. In fact, no, I was definitely younger because they gave me this wine glass full of wine. And they tipped it in my mouth so they could like regulate how much I was drinking, but they never thought of what I can do. And I clamped my teeth around it, and I was tipping my head back, and obviously they couldn't pull the wine glass out because I had my teeth clamped on the glass, and they didn't want it to break and cut my mouth. And so I was tipping my head back, and this wine glass clamped in my mouth, and I drank a whole glass of wine, and I was like, really young age. In fact, where did I get 7 from? I was like 4. You know, I was probably about 4.
And you just come off your mum's breast?
Yeah, I was they was weaning me off the tit, you know. And so
off the tit, onto the tipple. Now
yeah.
It's off his tit.
So I was pining for something, and
not me all.
And yeah, and that was my first proper drink. So yeah, because you know, I think every mum and dad, you know, like they used to. You know, when they dip your dummies in whiskey and send you sleeping and stuff. You know, a lot of mum and dads used to do that. Probably don't do now. But that's not a drink. That's a taste.
Yeah. That's not like
a my first taste, I would have been a similar kind of age. And just a little sip of your dad's beer at the bottom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say it, so I'll leave it.
Oh, we're leaving you hanging.
What was that about? I remember the first time I actually got pissed. I was genuinely 9. And my dad was a little bit irresponsible, but he let me get really drunk at my uncle's one New Year's Eve.
Your dad's awesome.
Yeah. Really, really drunk.
It's
a barrel of laughs. I was slurring. Oh, I know a joke about that, but...
You were slurring.
My mate once said to me, he says, have you ever tried non-alcoholic wine? I went, slur. He went, have you ever tried non-alcoholic wine?
Ba-dum-dum.
Anyway, yeah, I was slurring, and I was going to walk home to my dad's, and I was literally staggering. I couldn't make it. And so I stayed at my uncle's, chucked up, woke him up in the middle of the night while he was on the job, chucked up again all over
him. Just like... can we just stop that there and say, what do you mean by on the job?
You know what I mean by on the job.
Yeah, but the listeners out there won't know. You need to clarify.
Let's make this black and white.
Yes.
Is he having sex or was he tugging one out?
He was having sex.
Sex, right, okay. So we're talking about your dad and sex, but you know...
It's not my dad, it's my uncle.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said...
Yeah,
that was when you're with your uncle.
Oh, that's less weird because now we've got a creepy uncle guy.
Oh.
So anyway,
yeah,
it's a Dirty Kong podcast.
And I woke up in the morning with a hangover and everything, and I did not touch alcohol again. I wasn't even tempted to when like your 13-year-old mates have got
hold on,
cider.
Backtrack. You were being sick.
Yeah.
And you went into your dad's room when I was 7 sex.
No, I didn't go into my dad's room. It was my uncle's room. I didn't go into my uncle's room. I was sick. I went to sleep. I woke up in early hours of the morning, probably about 1, 2 o'clock, screaming, I'm going to be sick. My uncle had to run out in his T-shirt
and
bring
right.
me a bucket to chuck up on, and right. I chucked up on him a bit.
It was just in his T-shirt.
I probably had pants on as well.
Oh man,
I hope so.
You're building a profile. He had pants on, everybody.
he had pants on.
Dave does have an Uncle Creepy. This sounds like Uncle Creepy. He let him drink.
It's fine, there's nothing wrong with it.
We all have Uncle Creepy.
We all have an Uncle Creepy.
He always touched us and bought us extra big presents for Christmas.
Yeah, there's always a happy ending. For him or us.
He always had the smiling, the tears of mine, but never mind.
This is why I hate going before Dave, because my drunken story is just not a story anymore. I just had some hooch at a party when I was like 10. That's it.
Wow.
That's a hooch though. Because I don't think they sell it anymore. It was in the can.
It was awesome, in the can.
Yeah, yeah. But do you remember the big crackdown? I don't know if it was in like the late 90s or early 2000s. Because it was Alcopops, and there was a big crackdown in Britain, in this country, on Alcopops, because they looked too much like Tango or whatnot.
It was a picture of an angry lemon or an angry leopard.
Yeah, it was like a black can.
I meant to say. On it.
It was like a black can, and it had black. It was a black currant yeah. image with a smiley face, and I thought that's why I drank it, because I went downstairs at this party and we were all the kids are upstairs, obviously, because that's what happens. And I went, snuck downstairs and grabbed a can, and I thought it was just a can of pop, and I necked the whole thing. And it was just it was a blackcurrant ooch.
Yep.
Ooch.
Nice.
That's why they're all now in like poshish bottles, you know what I mean? They're always seeing vodka all over them. No matter how cheap it is, it's letting you know that it's potent alcohol in there.
It just says alcohol in big letters and loads of exclamation marks, goes all the way around the can.
Yeah.
If you touch the can for so long, the question marks come down your arm and into your soul.
And actually feeds your eyes into your liver. This is just by holding it for too long.
So if there's anybody out there who's got any good drunk stories, you should write to... You can drop us a line. Yeah. I'm going to plug it.
We'll pick up.
Plug.
Drop us a line at our email address, which is www.dirtycong.live.co.uk. Something like that.
So, yeah.
We'll find out the proper link.
Once it's set up.
Yeah.
Which it should be initialised by the time this goes out and broadcast. So, just try it. You know, see what happens.
But don't bullshit, because we will know the bullshitters. Because we don't want bullshit stories, because anyone can make up a story. Oh, I was dead drunk one time and I flipped over a car. No, you didn't. But we want to know when, I don't know, you fell down some stairs, landed in the bin, there was already somebody in there.
We don't want a James Bond story. We want, you know, I got drunk, I shat the bed and tried to have sex with my girlfriend whilst covered in my own feces. That's the kind of
story. Yeah, and they've got to be true. We will not respond to bullshit, because that's just not funny.
It's like I say, send us a line at www.dirtycong.live.co.uk and, embarrass yourself. It'll be fun.
And it's all anonymous. We will... only say some of your names, but you're not guaranteed to be shamed. But you might be. No, we won't. Honestly, it's all there. It's all anonymous. It's all good.
Okay, cool. Basically, now we're gonna roll right into our second segment of the first episode of our podcast, and it's basically over to Von Doggy.
So basically, what we've got here is I've got this dictionary, and for those of you unfamiliar with a dictionary, it's a word, it's a book with definitions of words within the book. It's quite a long book. Is it as long as the Bible? It's a good question. It's probably more relevant, to be honest. Please don't stab me.
If you've never heard of a dictionary or you don't know what it is, buy one and then look up the word idiot, because you are probably one of those.
But look up the word dictionary first so you understood what you've bought.
Don't mistake it for a thesaurus.
First things first then, I'm going to look up dictionary in the dictionary.
Oh yeah, that's... I wonder what it says. I reckon it'd just say me.
Me?
Yeah, dictionary.
You'd written the dictionary, that's what it would say.
Me. I'm pretty sure when I was a kid I thought God had written the dictionary, because didn't you do everything?
I've written the dictionary in fuck knows how many languages. I'm a bit bored now, so I'm going to send you a flood.
I think it's appropriate at this point to say...
I'm pretty sure that was God's thought pattern.
It's appropriate at this point to say that Dirty Kong has basically turned into a sort of... anti-religion, anti-God, atheist podcast.
Well, that dictionary. Plural dictionaries. A reference book containing words and usu phrases. Usu alphabetically. I'm confused by the dictionary shit. Arranged together with information about them, especially their forms, pronunciations, and meanings. A reference book giving the words or phrases of language equivalents in another language or dialect. Anyway, that's what a dictionary is.
Yeah.
And basically, what we're going
to
do is word of the day. What better word to know than what?
Dictionary.
Yeah. Can be shortened to a form of offensive gesture.
This isn't an immature podcast. This is an informed podcast with informed people, and this is about the key word, which is dictionary.
Yes.
Dictionary.
And anyway,
I'm going to make a book called the Titchnary.
Vagina monologues. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway.
Yeah, back to schedule.
Back to the feature.
The idea is that we've chosen a word which we find fairly obscure, not necessarily funny, and then we're going to see what the others make of it and see if anybody gets anywhere close to the actual definition in the dictionary of that word. And my word is Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude, I was about to say, it's not an English word then. Mm. And it's in the English dictionary.
Well, yeah, because it's a Swedo word. It's actually capitalised, which means we've taken it from something. So obviously we've probably taken it from Freud.
Or Germany. Schadenfreude.
Well, yeah, definitely taken it from Germany. Well, I'm saying...
Is it German? Is
some kind of psychological thing. I think that's where the Freud bit comes in at the end, obviously.
Is it the obsession with shit?
No. It's not. That's my guess.
Shade in there, so it's something dark. Is it...
It is quite dark, but not so much as in the literal dark.
This could be a competition. We've not thought of that.
We could leave this. I could tell you next week what this means.
You see,
we could do it next week, I think. Because
nobody's going to bother this first time.
It's too early for that shit.
So
we'll do more interactive. We'll make it more interactive later on, ladies and gentlemen. But for now, it's just going to be...
Don't just look it up in the fucking dictionary.
Yes, that's cheating.
It's quite easy. Creative
juices and just imagine what it could be.
Yeah, don't do what we did.
Yeah, look, just use your imaginations. Let it run wild.
So Jay, what's your guess?
Well, Schadenfreude, I think it is the description of a person that is a recluse that has, that is reformed and come into the public world.
Is that your final answer?
Schadenfreude, I thought it was somebody that was like a recluse. Yeah. But then Freud had come along and said, hey, this is what
I'm doing. Yeah, again, you've taken a slightly literal think of the dark from the shade in there.
Right, okay. I thought literally, I think shade is darkness.
But with the Freud as the affix.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
So Dave,
it's more psychological.
What is it really?
It is actually something that really, really appeals to me, probably to Jamie as well, and a little bit to John. It is
porn?
The enjoyment obtained from the misfortunes of somebody else.
That is great.
As a
nation, we do that, and you know, I think we've accepted that from America. From things like Jackass and things like that. That you know, the misfortune of others is a comical thing. As long as you're taking it lighthearted yourself.
Well, you think about yourself, at the end of the day, you walk down the street, somebody tells you a joke, somebody falls over a second later, which one do you laugh at more? The poor bastard smacking his head on a door.
That's it, yeah, exactly, you do.
Again, as we've said, this podcast is to inform and to infuriate.
Yeah.
So, you're learning, which is the great thing. Okay, this is round two.
Round two.
I'll put a bit of sound in.
Bing, bing, bing.
Yep.
Round two.
Okay.
Need some Mortal Kombat sounds.
Yeah.
My word's quite boring, to be fair. It's kind of a very strict. It's yeah. You know,
if your listeners want to make a cup of tea now, because you know,
yeah,
John's on the scene.
This isn't going to be funny or dirty, but you guys, this is up to you. You guys have got to make this what it is.
Okay.
My word is warfarin.
What?
Warfarin.
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 Warfarin. If I might actually know this, is warfarin a drug that thins blood?
Yes, it is.
Shit.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh. No way. That's so real.
Oh, my,
how did you know that?
My uncle was on warfarin.
I thought
to do... My grandfather.
Okay.
John.
You suck
balls, man.
Does that mean I lose then?
You lose for this game.
Or do I win?
I've got the point, I knew this word.
Yeah, I think...
But what could that word mean? Warfarin.
Warfarin.
Well, it could be an ancient tribal way.
Dave, you should have said this.
To kill.
You should have said it. You should have let him guess.
I'd like to think that warfarin has some kind of reference to the favourite character from Star Trek.
Warfarin.
That's what attracted me. Are we Trekkies? We're not Trekkies, are we?
I'm a bit of a Trekkie. I love it. The Next Generation was brilliant. Picard.
You guys talk about Star Trek. I'm in the piss.
But yeah, warfarin. I think warfarin should mean that you are imitating warf. So it's like, you know, you're walking down the street and you see some bad shit going
down.
And I think, hold on, shut the fuck up. Warfarin, yeah. So like, you see some bad shit going down, and instead of just walking on by, being polite, you know, not taking any notice, you're like, no, I'm going to stand up to these guys, and like. You know, and take those motherfuckers down.
Mm.
And so when you tell someone, you know, you say, oh, you know, I saw some kid getting beaten up by two bullets.
You go all Klingon.
And you went all Klingon on their ass. And it's a warfarin. I was warfarin that fucking day.
You know, I warfared that mofo.
Yeah, I warfared up big time.
I think it also kind of sounds like a modern day way of like emailing somebody your intent to war. I said you're warfarin.
Yeah, it's like saying an email or an affidavit, isn't it?
Yeah. What does affidavit mean?
It's a piece of paper.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's like a political indictment, isn't it? Mm. Like
that.
Again, we don't want you to inform too much. It's more infuriate than inform.
Yeah. You cunt.
So we, what's it now? Round three of this feature.
Awesome!
Right.
I don't get...
Right, my word.
I'm putting that in.
It's actually yours. Is like it sounds a little more German. Yeah. Mine sounds a little French. It's croque-monsieur.
Croque-monsieur.
Croque-monsieur. Obviously, it sounds like someone in the fucking massages crocodiles.
Okay.
Steve O.
K-R-O-K. Monsieur. Let's. Yeah,
Monsieur.
It sounds like the sort of definition of Steve Irwin in
that's
French.
Yeah.
He's the croc monsieur.
Or somebody even like slightly more. He just rapes crocodiles. That's how fucking hard he is.
Steve Irwin was the grand dragon.
Yeah.
To use a KKK reference of the crocodiles.
And then they decided to tackle a stingray.
He's the croc monsieur.
I think that works.
I want that to be the definition of that word.
Well, it's not.
So that's my guess.
Ghost sucks on balls or something.
Okay.
It's not.
So that was your attempt.
It's not somebody that works with pottery or clay, is it? Makes vases or anything.
Very intelligent guess.
No, we're quite far off the mark. I tell you what, you'll never get this. Yeah. Croc monsieur.
Here it is.
Yeah. Is actually. A cheese and ham sandwich that is either grilled or fried. I love the fact that croque monsieur, it sounds, you know, quite quite posh. Monsieur of croque.
It sounds quite definitive.
It actually means it's a ham and cheese toasty.
That's right up your street, Jay. You love ham and cheese toasty.
Croque monsieur, where is it?
Cheese and ham sandwich, grilled or fried.
I've got to say, I think that, you know, with a bit of work, this feature has got legs. I think we could do three, and then maybe a fourth one could be down to the listener if we ever get listeners.
Yeah.
If you're out there.
Don't make up words.
So, there you go. Three words for you there to use in everyday vocabulary. Yes, we had Schadenfreude, which is the amusement attained by other people's misfortunes. We had Warfarin, which I spoiled the whole thing because my, family problems.
which is
an analgesic for Finn in blood.
What's analgesic? You know, analgesic
is a joke that Finn's blood.
and
croque monsieur, which is a ham and cheese toasty. So you go to
there practice. You go, listeners.
Yeah. Don't go into a pub. Yeah. When you go into a pub, I mean, most pubs serve ham and cheese toasty.
Yeah.
And so don't say, oh, can I have ham and cheese toasty? Say, can I say, can I have croque monsieur?
I just say, piss off, Frenchie.
Go and, like, you know, reverse out another wall. And just say, no, hold on. I just want a ham and cheese toasty, mate. That's all it was. See?
Yeah. I've got to say, though, that's brilliant because there's not many podcasts out there that you get, you know, as much bargain for your book, even though this is absolutely free to download.
Which is, thank fucking God.
You've come away here with insults on every... I think we've done every race and creed in the first episode, which is quite
an achievement. We'll get onto it.
We'll get there,
don't
you
worry.
I think
we've missed the Chinese.
And you've come away with three new words.
Three.
That's an achievement. You know, you can't argue that. You cannot complain. That's brilliant. We should be charging, I think.
We should. I mean, we're not going to charge, but if you want to make a donation through PayPal, we'll set up a PayPal account, and feel free to send us your mooly.
Or you could come round and give us a kiss.
Yeah.
Male or female.
Kiss. The word kiss, we actually interpret it as sex. Come round, give us a kiss. someone's going to get pregnant.
That's really creepy.
Yeah.
Right, well, I think that's it for our first podcast. Everybody go, whee!
Whee!
Podcast number one, done and dusted.
And there was much rejoicing.
Yay! Okay, so if you've got any comments, if you can be asked and have got the time.
Or if you think of an interesting word, we said that as well.
Yeah, if you can think of any kind of interesting words, obscure words that we probably wouldn't find in an English dictionary, that you want to drop us a line and play the game, you can visit www.dirtykong@live.co.uk and drop us an email. We're going to set up a website soon in the next week or so, And we're going to end on a joke by Von Dog Biscuit, can't we?
Yeah, and I think joke, remember to inform and infuriate. So recently, I've been thinking about Tiger Woods, not about his sex stuff, leave him, let him do that, whatever. He's a rich man, he can do what he wants. But yeah, thinking why he's so good at golf, it's probably his mixed heritage, because he's part Afro-American, part Vietnamese, and part white, or Caucasian, sorry, whatever you want to call it. And so I was just thinking that helps him with his golf, because he's got his Afro-American for his national grace. And John showed me a picture of a cock and he's licking it.
As if I would.
So yeah, he's got his
scale.
His
and part, he drew it on a poster.
He's part Afro-American for his natural grace, for his swing, part Vietnamese for when he's in the rough, and part white man means he gets on the course in the first place. So it's making me think about my friends, how their mixed heritage helps them. I'm like, I know somebody who was part pygmy. His mum was pygmy and his dad was French. He was a great cook, couldn't reach a stove. And then on the other guy, his dad was Swedish. And his mum was Arab, and he used to come down the street drinking vodka from a cooking clock in a yashmak. And now I was thinking about another friend of mine, whose dad was French and his mum was French, and he was a complete cunt.
Now I'm French. Funny and true.
And any French people listening to that, nique ta mère. Okay, you motherfucker. No offence to anyone, I love you all. But there's an offensive joke to finish off with. And
we don't want to offend anyone, guys. But fuck the French.
Yeah, I am half French.
Fuck off if you
like. Okay, thanks for listening, if you did listen, and we promise that our production value will step up a notch, and our I think our structure is going to finalise.
This is the first time we've ever done anything like this, man.
But bear with us, yeah, because it was our first time. So thanks for listening, and see you guys later. Yeah.
And next time we'll make you come, I promise.
Bye.
See you later, masturbator.
Hasta la vista.
Okay. Tick on, 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 tick on